Our intent is not to rewrite this book. We have written one or more volumes of each one of these topics and sometimes five or six. Some have been banned, burned and denied the crossing of national boundaries. These are the Phoenix Journals, which were begun with the Phoenix Project in 1986 with first publications in 1989. They all are yet to be indexed as to content focus, for they were written in journal format, generally too diverse in topics to qualify as a topic. This young person has done better than others at bringing this massive amount of data into a useful volume. There are yet dozens of journals still awaiting publication, but the project has never slowed nor shall it. Chapter 7, The Talmud, What a Lovely Book. Before reading this chapter, one want to point out very clearly that it is not my intention to go against a race or a people or to push the guilt to a certain group of people. I'm interested in uncovering their belief system, that's what I'm putting my finger on. This chapter is going to upset you, as it did upset me in the first, second and third place, too. I did not like to write this chapter and I don't like this theme at all, but it is of tremendous importance to understand what is happening on our planet. If you want to understand why Hitler, 62, Benjamin Franklin, George Washington, Martin Luther and many, many others wanted to hunt down the Jews, you have to know what follow here, because it was the cause of their actions. So please don't get angry with me for presenting this stuff. All the sources for this chapter are of Jewish origin. Coming back to the protocols, I can still feel some readers doubt their origin. Let's have a look at a few phrases out of the Talmud, translated from a German version, to understand why the barbarian Khazars were interested in suddenly becoming Talmud believers, and maybe to understand why the Jews always have been hunted, wherever they've been. Is there maybe some reason behind it? Hunt down the Jews, you have to know what follow here, because it was the cause of their actions. So please don't get angry with me for presenting this stuff. All the sources for this chapter are of Jewish origin. Coming back to the protocols, I can still feel some readers doubt their origin. Let's have a look at a few phrases out of the Talmud, translated from a German version, to understand why the barbarian Khazars were interested in suddenly becoming Talmud believers, and maybe to understand why the Jews always have been hunted, wherever they've been. Is there maybe some reason behind it? H, please, an interruption here. These Jews in point are also generally called Talmudists or Talmudians. You who witnessed the O.J. Simpson trial regarding the murder of his wife will perhaps recall that Marcia Clark, a prosecution lawyer, stated right out to Judge Ito that certainly they all wished for a Talmudic-type court which would bypass the trial itself as being presented. The prosecution, in other words, could simply hang the man without trial at all and further the cause of the Talmudic law without consideration of justice, only to be reversed in a civil uncivilized rerun over money. Be very careful about to whom you listen and form your opinions, for mostly you will be given the party line, not the truth. These Khazarian Talmudists are making a major thrust to topple the world into their control, readers. They give you the information, themselves. Directly from the Talmud, just the Jews are humans, the non-Jews are not humans, but cattle. Goyim equals human cattle, Kerethuth 6b page 78, Chabamoth 61a. The non-Jews have been created to serve the Jews as slaves. Midrash Talpioth 225. The non-Jews have to be avoided, even more than sick pigs. Aruch Chaim 57, 6a. Sexual intercourse with non-Jews is like sexual intercourse with animals. Kethuboth 3b. The birth rate of the non-Jews has to be suppressed massively. Zohar 2, 4b. As you replace lost cows and donkeys, so you shall replace dead non-Jews. Iordah 337, 1 to box an Israeli on the ear, is like to box on the ear of God. Sanhedrin 58b. God, Yahweh, is never angry about the Jews, just about the non-Jews. Talmud v/2, 43b plus 44a. Everywhere they, the Jews, come, they will be the princes and the lords. Sanhedrin 104a. I, Yahweh, make you, the jury, the ancestor of the peoples, I make you the selected one amongst the peoples, I make you the king over the peoples. I make you the loved one amongst the peoples, I make you the best one amongst the peoples, I make you the trusted one amongst the peoples. Shagbart 105a. Towards a non-Jew, the Jew doesn't cause on adultery. Punishable for the Jew is just the adultery towards his next, that means the wife of a Jew. The wife of the non-Jew is excluded. Talmud 4, 4:50 to Ab. There is no wife for the Goyim, they really aren't their wives. Talmud 4, 4:81 plus 80 to Ab. You, the Jews, have made me, Yahweh, the only true Lord in the world. I will make you the only ruler in the world. Who wants to be smart shall occupy himself with money matters, because there are no corner pillars in the Torah that are more important, because they are like a sparkling fountain. Talmud 4, 3, 173b. Jews always have to try to deceive non-Jews. Zohari, 168a. Carry on trade with non-Jews, if they have to pay money for it. Abkoda 0 to 80. Non-Jewish property belongs to the Jew who uses it first. Baba Batra 54b. If two Jews have deceived a non-Jew, they have to split the profit. Choshen Ham 183, 7. 63. Every Jew is allowed to use lies and perjury to bring a non-Jew to ruin. Baba Kama 113a. The possessions of the Goyim are like an ownerless desert, and everybody, every Jew who seizes it, has acquired it. Talmud 4, 3, 54b. The Jew is allowed to exploit the mistake of a non-Jew and to deceive him. Talmud 4, 2/2, 70b. When the Messiah comes, all will be slaves of the Jews. Irubin 43b. Lovely, isn't it? Do some of you still believe that the protocols are not of Jewish origin? Can you understand the kings who kicked the Jews from their countries? I don't talk about the ordinary Jew, like the ordinary Christian or Muslim, but the powerful ones. And these do believe in the nonsense you have just read. If you want to understand why we have wars, planned wars for many hundreds of years on this planet, and why the Illuminati don't care about millions of people of all races being killed in these wars, you have to understand that in the eyes of a Talmud believing as a Jewish banker, no human dies in a war between countries, but Goyim. Just the Jews are human in the eyes of a Mosaic Jew, who believes in Mosaic law, that you just read, and all the other ones are cattle and have to be treated like cattle. They are not worthy to be treated any better than cattle. Cattle have no property, no right to own anything, cattle cannot be married. So as a Jew you are allowed to deceive the cattle. You don't believe this? Well, ask a rabbi. I did and got the answer, of course. We are the chosen people. You are the Goy, singular of Goyim. It doesn't mean that every Jew is believing in the Talmud and in the Mosaic law, the same as not every child of Christian parents believes in Christianity. In this book we are looking at the ones who believe in the lines you just read, and we are interested in what these people are doing because of this belief. Do you think that what I just wrote and showed you out of the Talmud just appears in some Nazi German heads, the bad guys of this planet? Then you are far off. The Talmud, the ultimate authority in Orthodox Judaism, plumbs the depths of moral and spiritual depravity. Wherever they went, the Mosaic or Talmudic Jews became legendary for their crookedness and their diabolical ingenuity in taking advantage of those with whom they come in contact. They were both feared and despised. As a direct result of their chicanery, they were expelled from one nation after another. Jews were evicted from England in 1290 AD, returned 1655, France 1306. Returned 1682, Hungary 1360-1582, Belgium 1370-1700, Slovakia 1380-1744. They were also thrown out of the Netherlands, Austria, Spain, Portugal, Italy, Bavaria and other nations in Europe in the same time frame. Jesus said about these particular Jews, that they were of their father, The Devil. John 8:44. That's the reason, and really the only reason, why Jesus has been killed by those Jews, the Pharisees. 113a. The possessions of the Goyim are like an ownerless desert, and everybody, every Jew who seizes it, has acquired it. Talmud 4, 3, 54b. The Jew is allowed to exploit the mistake of a non-Jew and to deceive him. Talmud 4, 2/2, 70b. When the Messiah comes, all will be slaves of the Jews. Eruvin 43b. Lovely, isn't it? Do some of you still believe that the protocols are not of Jewish origin? Can you understand the kings who kicked the Jews from their countries? I don't talk about the ordinary Jew, like the ordinary Christian or Muslim, but the powerful ones. And these do believe in the nonsense you have just read. If you want to understand why we have wars, planned wars for many hundreds of years on this planet, and why the Illuminati don't care about millions of people of all races being killed in these wars, you have to understand that in the eyes of a Talmud-believing Kaza Jewish banker, no human dies in a war between countries, but Goyim. Just the Jews are human in the eyes of a Mosaic Jew, who believes in Mosaic law, that you just read, and all the other ones are cattle and have to be treated like cattle. They are not worthy to be treated any better than cattle. Cattle have no property, no right to own anything, cattle cannot be married, so as a Jew you are allowed to deceive the cattle. You don't believe this? Well, ask a rabbi. I did and got the answer, of course. We are the chosen people. You are the Goy, singular of Goyim. It doesn't mean that every Jew is believing in the Talmud and in the Mosaic law, the same as not every child of Christian parents believes in Christianity. In this book we are looking at the ones who believe in the lines you just read, and we are interested in what these people are doing because of this belief. Do you think that what I just wrote and showed you out of the Talmud just appears in some Nazi German heads, the bad guys of this planet? Then you are far off. The Talmud, the ultimate authority in Orthodox Judaism, plumbs the depths of moral and spiritual depravity. Wherever they went, the Mosaic or Talmudic Jews became legendary for their crookedness and their diabolical ingenuity in taking advantage of those with whom they come in contact. They were both feared and despised. As a direct result of their chicanery, they were expelled from one nation after another. Jews were evicted from England in 1290 AD, returned 1655, France 1306. Returned 1682, Hungary 1360-1582, Belgium 1370-1700, Slovakia 1380-1744. They were also thrown out of the Netherlands, Austria, Spain, Portugal, Italy, Bavaria and other nations in Europe in the same time frame. Jesus said about these particular Jews, that they were of their father, the devil. John 8:44. That's the reason, and really the only reason, why Jesus has been killed by those Jews, the Pharisees. These poor people, what game would you have to play if not for them, confused people? But when some are unable to write correct historical data to make sure the lie flourishes, it is a sad commentary, indeed. Can this be more unreasonable than the proclamations of authors and interviewers about shape-shifting people of the royal families, specifically, the royal family of England? We present this documented information for your convenience and hope that you will stop calling the people who bring truth after the lies are instilled, revisionists. The revisions came with the lie, not the truth, and became accepted fact from the miscreant fictionists. Is not truth somehow bad enough in its insanity that worse has to be fabricated and then repeated until the brain is dead and accepts the lie without question? This book was brought to us specifically for use and comment. I suggest you just remain open and then reach your own conclusions, for I have no enemies and every event 64, throughout experience is but a positive experience for possible growth into truth and honor. If you don't understand my statement, then I really do suggest you stay tuned. For the truth is somewhat more strange and wondrous than the fiction of the kings. Martin Luther, For example, had this to say, I had decided not to write any more neither of the Jews nor against the Jews. Because I learned, however, that those miserable, wicked people do not cease trying to win over to themselves us, that is the Christians. Also I have permitted this booklet to go forth that I might be found among those who have resisted such poisonous undertaking of the Jews, and have found the Christians to be on their guard against them. I would not have thought that a Christian would permit himself to be fooled by the Jews to share their exile and misery. But the devil is the god of the world, and where God's world is not, he has easy sailing, not only among the weak, but also among the strong. God help us. Amen. And as a distinguished mark, they strengthen their faith and bitter hatred against us amongst themselves by saying, keep on. See how God is amongst us and does not forsake his people in exile. We do not work, we enjoy good, lazy days. The cursed goyim, human cattle, must work for us. We get their money, thereby we are their masters. They, however, are our servants. Keep on, dear children of Israel. It will be better still. Our Messiah will come if we thus continue and appropriate to ourselves, usury, hamdath Hebrew, possessions, desire, of the heathen. Do not their Talmud and their rabbis write that it is no sin to kill if a Jew kills a heathen, but that it is a sin if he kills a brother in Israel? It is not a sin if he does not keep his oath to a heathen. Therefore, to steal and rob, as they do with their usury, from a heathen is divine service. For they hold that they cannot be too hard on us nor sin against us, because they are the noble blood and circumcised saints. We, however, are cursed goyim. And they are the masters of the world and we are their servants, yes, their cattle. Should someone think I'm saying too much, I am not saying too much, but much too little. For I see in writing how they curse us goyim and wish us evil in their schools and prayers. They rob us of our money through usury and, wherever they are able, they play us all manner of mean tricks. Martin Luther's last recorded utterance on the subject of the Jews was, "You should know that the Jews blaspheme and violate the name of our Savior day by day. For that reason, you, my lords and ladies, should not tolerate but expel them. They are our public enemies and incessantly blaspheme our Lord Jesus Christ. They call Mary a harlot and her holy son a bastard. If they could kill us all they would gladly do so. In fact, many of them murder Christians, especially those professing to be surgeons and doctors. They know how to deal with medicaments in the manner of Italians, the Borgias and Medicis, who gave people poison which brought their death in 1 hour or in a month. Should Martin Luther be condemned as being a rabid hater of Jews? Not necessarily. It is abundantly clear from a careful reading of the above statement that Luther was attacking the basic Talmudic philosophy which motivates many Jews, like the Rothschilds for example. It would also come as a great surprise to many American readers to learn that a number of their glorified forefathers were much more outspoken on this issue than Adolf Hitler. Benjamin Franklin, 106-1790. For example, we must protect this young nation from any insidious influence. That menace, gentlemen, is the Jews. In whatever country Jews have settled in any great numbers, they have lowered its moral tone, depreciated its commercial integrity, have segregated themselves and have not been assimilated. They have sneered at and have tried to undermine the Christian religion upon which that nation is founded by objecting to its restrictions, have built up a state within a state and have, when opposed, tried to strangle the country financially. They are vampires, and vampires do not live on vampires. They cannot live among themselves. They must subsist on Christians and on other people not of their race. If you don't understand my statement, then I really do suggest you stay tuned, for the truth is somewhat more strange and wondrous than the fiction of the kings. Martin Luther, for example, had this to say, I had decided not to write any more neither of the Jews nor against the Jews. Because I learned, however, that those miserable, wicked people do not cease trying to win over to themselves us, that is the Christians. Also I have permitted this booklet to go forth that I might be found among those who have resisted such poisonous undertaking of the Jews, and have found the Christians to be on their guard against them. I would not have thought that a Christian would permit himself to be fooled by the Jews to share their exile and misery. But the devil is the god of the world, and where God's world is not, he has easy sailing, not only among the weak, but also among the strong. God help us. Amen. And as a distinguished mark, they strengthen their faith and bitter hatred against us amongst themselves by saying, "Keep on. See how God is amongst us and does not forsake his people in exile. We do not work, we enjoy good, lazy days. The cursed goyim, human cattle, must work for us. We get their money, thereby we are their masters. They, however, are our servants. Keep on, dear children of Israel. It will be better still. Our Messiah will come if we thus continue and appropriate to ourselves, usury, hemdeth Hebrew, possessions, desire, of the heathen. Do not their Talmud and their rabbis write that it is no sin to kill if a Jew kills a heathen, but that it is a sin if he kills a brother in Israel? It is not a sin if he does not keep his oath to a heathen. Therefore, to steal and rob, as they do with their usury, from a heathen is divine service. For they hold that they cannot be too hard on us nor sin against us, because they are the noble blood and circumcised saints. We, however, are cursed goyim. And they are the masters of the world and we are their servants, yes, their cattle. Should someone think I'm saying too much, I am not saying too much, but much too little. For I see in writing how they curse us goyim and wish us evil in their schools and prayers. They rob us of our money through usury and, wherever they are able, they play us all manner of mean tricks. Martin Luther's last recorded utterance on the subject of the Jews was, "You should know that the Jews blaspheme and violate the name of our Savior day by day. For that reason, you, my lords and ladies, should not tolerate but expel them. They are our public enemies and incessantly blaspheme our Lord Jesus Christ. They call Mary a harlot and her holy son a bastard. If they could kill us all they would gladly do so. In fact, many of them murder Christians, especially those professing to be surgeons and doctors. They know how to deal with medicaments in the manner of Italians, the Borgias and Medicis, who gave people poison which brought their death in 1 hour or in a month." Should Martin Luther be condemned as being a rabid hater of Jews? Not necessarily. It is abundantly clear from a careful reading of the above statement that Luther was attacking the basic Talmudic philosophy which motivates many Jews, like the Rothschilds for example. It would also come as a great surprise to many American readers to learn that a number of their glorified forefathers were much more outspoken on this issue than Adolf Hitler. Benjamin Franklin, 106-1790. For example, "We must protect this young nation from any insidious influence. That menace, gentlemen, is the Jews. In whatever country Jews have settled in any great numbers, they have lowered its moral tone, depreciated its commercial integrity, have segregated themselves and have not been assimilated. They have sneered at and have tried to undermine the Christian religion upon which that nation is founded by objecting to its restrictions, have built up a state within a state and have, when opposed, tried to strangle that country financially. They are vampires, and vampires do not live on vampires. They cannot live among themselves. They must subsist on Christians and on other people not of their race. 65. If you do not exclude them from the United States in the Constitution, in less than 200 years they will have swarmed in such numbers that they will dominate and devour the land and change our form of government. If you do not exclude them, in less than 200 years our descendants will be working in the fields to furnish them subsistence, while they will be in their counting houses, rubbing their hands. I warn you, gentlemen, if you do not exclude the Jews for all time, your children will curse you in your graves." He knew what he was talking about, because the American presidents, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Harry Solomon Truman and James Earl Carter, were hidden Jews of Jews who take on a different name and sometimes another religion to cover up their Jewish origin. But they still follow their goals, because if not, they will die a silent death through their rabbis. You don't believe this? Read, Die Schlimmsten Feinde unserer Völker, The Most Dangerous Enemies of Our Peoples, by Jean Boyer, Edición Actualizada, Bogotá, Colombia, 1979. It will blow your mind. And George Washington, 1732-1799, the first U.S. president. The Jews work more effectively against us than the enemy's armies. They are 100 times more dangerous to our liberties and the great cause we are engaged in. It is much to be lamented that each state long ago has not hunted them down as pests to society and the greatest enemies we have to happiness in America. Maxims of George Washington, by Constitution. In less than 200 years they will have swarmed in such numbers that they will dominate and devour the land and change our form of government. If you do not exclude them, in less than 200 years our descendants will be working in the fields to furnish them substance, while they will be in their counting houses, rubbing their hands. I warn you, gentlemen, if you do not exclude the Jews for all time, your children will curse you in your graves. He knew what he was talking about, because the American presidents, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Harry Solomon Truman and James Earl Carter, were hidden Jews are Jews who take on a different name and sometimes another religion to cover up their Jewish origin. But they still follow their goals, because if not, they will die a silent death through their rabbis. You don't believe this? Read, Die Schlimmsten Feinde unserer Völker, The Most Dangerous Enemies of Our Peoples, by Jean Boyer, Edición Actualizada, Bogotá, Colombia, 1979. It will blow your mind. And George Washington, 1732-1799, the first U.S. president. The Jews work more effectively against us than the enemy's armies. They are 100 times more dangerous to our liberties and the great cause we are engaged in. It is much to be lamented that each state long ago has not hunted them down as pests to society and the greatest enemies we have to happiness in America. Maxims of George Washington, by A.A. Appleton and Company, pp. 125,126. Surprised? Some readers may think that I'm one of these Nazi German fellows who live back in WW2. That is simply not the case. These chapters do not specifically relate to the Jewish people as a whole. Some of my closest friends are Jews. There is a great difference between a Khazar, a Zionist, a Talmudist, the Hebrew Blood Alliance on the one side and an ordinary Jewish person in the street. I am concerned about what is written in the Talmud, and about the fact that the Talmud is applied today. And as I will describe later, it is important to understand who trained these Jews, what had been written in the Talmud, to understand who their Lord is. It is Yahweh, El Shaddai, the one who came down from heaven, not alone, with fire and smoke in a flying cloud. H. Do I have comment here? No, I ask exactly what the author asked. Read the information and you comment. We were asked to share this and yes, we can do that unless disallowed, but it is not for us to offer you an opinion instead of your own. However, you are irresponsible if you do not study it all. Half-informed and baseless conclusions are very difficult to overcome when truth is presented. Earth is a free will planet where man has been given the ability to think and choose. But I suggest that you base your choices on reality, not fiction. Every grouping of men will write their own history and then change it to suit themselves. This is no different from these so-called Jews, who aren't. These are thieves, deceive their own and as well destroy their own. Greater writers and historians through the eons of time have recorded these things and destroyed those things which are not acceptable to one group or another. The facts are that it is the time of evolvement to present that which was buried to hide it from thinking mankind. The Jewish, Hebrew, person is the most victimized of all humanity and that, readers, is a fact, for even his lineage and heritage was stolen from him. So, yes, indeed, this planet is often referred to as hell for the suffering aspect of ignorance in action. If it is to change and evolve in the other direction of concept, you will have to see to it, for I think you begin to see that the manipulators will not do you the honor of their service as master and you, slave.